you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Friday, June 16th, 2017. You've been maybe hearing radio spots or announcements or heard us reference it on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, but we're going to begin probably a 1 or 2 year study. I don't know. Who knows? It might be 2.5 years. We'll be going through the book of Exodus on Fridays typically. Now, obviously, when we get to Christmas or Thanksgiving week or maybe certain holidays, or where we'll digress and talk about something else. But generally on Fridays, we'll be focusing on the book of Exodus. We'll go verse by verse, maybe word by word. We'll talk about things that we've learned or studied or insights we've gathered. Pastor Jason has been preaching on this book, and I just thought it would be a fantastic one to lay some of the groundwork on not only the importance of Scripture, but why we can identify so personally with Exodus, because the fact of slavery and then so many things that point towards Christ or are revealed through some of the circumstances that happen in Exodus, that, what would you say, foreshadowing?
Yeah, foreshadows or prefigures.
Mm-hmm. But I love in some of the resources, and I think you'll maybe even highlight this on your website so many of the listeners can access other information or devotional thoughts. Or I know you did some really good things with the Exodus story and how it gets laid out, or the tabernacle, or some of the plagues that are mentioned. And then each and every Sunday you usually have like a little commentary and an overview. But I loved your initial Exodus meditation. And so before we maybe jump into it, I know this was your heart for those that attend the Sunday service, but I would think it would parallel really well with our desire for those that are going to be tuning in over the coming months. But a number of the meditations you had listed, I'm going to read out, and this would be our prayer for you as you tune in on Fridays, as you read Exodus on your own, as you study the materials that will be accessible at the Community Evangelical Free Church out of Muhammad, and as you just kind of study along and have your Bible open on Fridays. But some of the listings under this Exodus meditation is that we'd ask the Lord to increase our desire to read and know His Word, and that's one of the goals of this radio ministry, and that we would understand and listen as you tune in to hear God's voice, maybe through us or through the illustration or through the spoken word, that we would continue to thank the Lord for revealing His truth to us, and that's primarily what He does through the Bible. He does it through other believers, but the Bible is a primary love letter, instruction manual for us to follow and read and know. That through the study of this Exodus, there's an importance there. I mean, it's in God's Word, so He wants us to know it, to identify with it, to see the parallels, to be open to His conviction or the fortification. Maybe we're praying over a specific thing, and it's realized as we see His pattern of how He answers something or a revealed truth that we can connect with. You might be struggling in certain areas, and we'd pray through this study that you would find strength and would cling to Him. I love Jason's comment many times. It forces us to lean into Christ so that as we study together, we're leaning into Him for understanding, for points of application, for learning. That we'll ask God to bring Exodus so it's not just this unknown book that we're not familiar with, but that light is revealed and that we see that salvation message so that we're no longer captive to passions or sin or desires, that we can find freedom from that bondage, and that we can ask God for strength and praise Him for how He delights in rescuing us and redeeming us and growing us up in our faith journey. And we'll just pray that God, over the coming days, the coming Fridays, that His Holy Spirit will enlighten our minds, and that we'll glean good godly truth, and that maybe those points of application will not only allow us to exhibit the fragrance of Christ with our workmates or our family or those around us, but that we'll be those glowing witnesses for Christ. And that's something that we're studying on Tuesday nights also. So there's still opportunity to sign up for our Disciple Makers series of classes. We have 5 more classes. We meet on Tuesday nights, 6:15 to 7:30. So we met the first time this week, this past Tuesday, and we'll meet the next couple Tuesdays in June. We'll take the 4th of July off, which falls on a Tuesday, and then we'll have 3 classes in July. So find out more about the Disciple Makers class here at the Great News Radio studio on Tuesday nights at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Now, on Wednesday, Jason, I was mentioning, do we do a whole program on setting up Exodus? And you said, oh, there's a lot of material, and it'll just kind of come out naturally, and let's just maybe jump right into the book, or are there any preparatory, is that the right word?
No.
Like remarks that you need to make to set up the book of Exodus.
No, not at all. The only thing that we really need to talk about is the fact of how the book of Exodus begins, because that's really all we need to know. Now, we could definitely, I mean, you know, here becomes the rub, right, is that do we set up the book of Exodus? And in effect, in order to do that, we have to go all the way back and work our way back to Genesis chapter 1, because we have to go back to God's original intentions and then work our way forward through his promises, because Exodus is going to be his promises revealed. I mean, when he says to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that I will make you a great nation and that the world will be blessed through you, first of all, we have to understand God's blessing is bigger than simply land and monetary things, and that God's blessing is his presence and salvation. Mm-hmm. And so when he says that to Abraham, he's saying, through me will come blessings, and that blessings will be my presence and salvation that you will experience from me. The Exodus is God's temporal kind of salvation, his saving the children of Israel to prefigure his saving of the entire world. He saves a group of people, and later he saves the entire world, and so from sin. And so we definitely need to look at why the book of Exodus begins the way it begins, but we don't need to, I think, tread all the way back to Genesis. What we need to know, the most important thing that we need to know, is that the first word in Exodus in the original Hebrew is the word "and." And so the book of Exodus begins, "and these are the names of the sons of Israel." And the reason it begins with the word "and," because it's connected to everything that came before it. So what it's telling us that this is the continuation of God's story as he walks with his people, as his presence moves with them, as he is sovereign over all their affairs. And so we need to understand that we could really think of Exodus as a sequel to Genesis, another episode in the story, this kind of massive story of what God is doing in the world.
Kind of how Acts is like the continuation of the Gospels to some degree?
Yeah, I think you could say that. I think you could say that it's just every book of the Bible is, except for, I mean, Acts has a unique kind of place because really you would take all the epistle letters and kind of lay them into Acts, right, because that's what happens. But the story of the Bible is the story of God as he does that. And really the interesting thing, or the thing that I think we really need to grab onto, is that the Exodus is positioned and begins in such a way to tell us that everything in Genesis comes into the Exodus, and the Exodus refers a lot to what happens in Genesis, which is why I don't think we have to go back and tread and look at Genesis. We're going to naturally see Genesis. But the more important thing, the harder thing, I think, for all of us, is to see that we're connected to the story of Exodus. But yet, if you're in Christ, if you know who God is, if God's story is a part of your story, then this story, the continuing story of God, is your story. And I think that that's what we need to do. I think so often we see the story of God as kind of some other story. It's not. It's what God has done for me, and therefore I live in light of that. No, you're part of the story. The minute you got saved, all of a sudden you were written into the pages of that story, written into the pages of the book of life. I mean, God knows who you are.
And the story is for those that are maybe seeking God or those that don't even know God yet, because it recounts historical events that took place, and it talks about slavery and a lot of things that people are enslaved to different things.
Sure.
People are worshiping different gods.
Yeah.
So there might be somebody tuned in that's maybe either far from God or doesn't believe God exists, and this account of Exodus will reveal how God works through history.
Yeah, you know, it just tells us that God is continually, that's one of the messages that's much farther down the pike as we get into Exodus, is that God is always at work. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work." And we need to go back and read the Old Testament, read the things that God did and the things that God continues to do, so we understand that he is always at work, that God doesn't stop working, that just because you feel far from God, that's because you moved, not because God moved. And so we need to understand that this story, the story of Exodus, is part of our story, that the adventure is already underway, that God is already at work, that he's unfolding things, that nothing happens by mistake or accident. We love to say that things happen by providence and not by happenstance. And so there's not anything that will be experienced in the book of Exodus, particularly in the very tough first two chapters, that God doesn't know about. And not only that God doesn't know about, that God didn't orchestrate. You see, God is always active in orchestrating events in history. And what is the nature of those events? Well, a lot of us will say, well, God just wants to bless me. I mean, that's a prosperity gospel. No, God wants to draw you to himself. That's what God really wants to do. And sometimes that means sending you out into the wilderness so that all of the kind of things that you've built up, all the idols and all the kind of momentary objects of desire will be blown up and you'll see that you need him and him only. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible begins by saying these are the names of the sons of Israel who came from Egypt with Jacob. And then it gives us the name of the tribes of Israel. We get Reuben and Simon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Zebulun and Benjamin and Dan and Naphtali and Gad and Asher. And then the Bible says all, I don't want to spend too much time there, all the descendants of Jacob were 70 persons. This is important because in the first chapter here, we're going to see this phrase used over and over that says, and they became fruitful and they multiplied, they increased exceedingly, they grew. That's important that we know that it begins with 70 because by the time we get to chapter 12, we have 600,000.
Yeah.
And so we know that the people of Israel are growing against all odds. And so one of the things that I love about the book of Exodus is when I hear a lot of talk right now where people are going, oh my gosh, we're feeling persecuted. What are we going to do? We're going to dwindle in numbers. When the people of God are up, where their backs are up against the wall, they always multiply. They always grow. I just read an article the other day that was fascinating. It said that the more oppressive China has become, the more the church has grown. Hmm. They said in 1980, China began a very intentional program of persecution of churches. When China did that, the church grew in average of 10% every year.
Hmm.
If the church in America grew by 10% every year, we would do backflips.
Yeah.
And so over there, they've grown by 10%, which means that persecution is not always a bad thing where the church is concerned. And so here what we're going to find out is between chapter 1 and chapter 12, the people of Israel are going to grow from 70 to 600,000. And it says here, Joseph was already in Egypt, and when Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation, but the people of Israel were what? Fruitful, increased greatly, multiplied, grew exceedingly strong. There are seven words there to describe the growth of the children of Israel in Egypt.
Hmm.
Now, why would they use seven words?
Hmm.
Because the word seven in the Bible is the word for perfection. And so they're not there by accident. They're not there by happenstance. This is the work of God that brought them to Egypt. And in what? For what? Because in seven ways, God would be perfectly at work in growing the children of Israel. And it says, so the land was filled with them. These seven ways that they grew, fruitful, increased, greatly, multiplied, grew exceedingly strong. These are God's purposes. Now, you've got the position of the people of Israel. They're in Egypt. You've got God's purposes, seven ways perfectly. So this is what I say. When you've got God's purposes at work, you're going to have man's problem. You really are. And that's why it begins in verse 8 and says, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And that verse is loaded. When it says that he doesn't know Joseph, what does that mean? He doesn't know Joseph's people. He doesn't care about Joseph's people. And he doesn't know Joseph's God. If he doesn't know Joseph, it means he doesn't know doesn't care about any of the things that Joseph would care about. And we know from reading the text that Joseph loved God. And so he doesn't care about God. Now, because he doesn't care about God, what does that mean? That means he's going to do all kinds of wicked things. We talked on Wednesday mm-hmm. about Romans chapter 1. And what happens in Romans chapter 1? It says in Romans 1 that people know enough about God to worship him. There's enough evident in creation for people to know that God exists. If you wake up and you see the sunrise and you aren't like, wow, then you have a problem. And so Pharaoh, there was enough concerning Joseph and concerning the people of Israel, concerning all that, where Pharaoh, I've kind of heard these rumblings about this God. I wonder what that's all about. But instead, the Bible tells us, didn't know Joseph, didn't care about Joseph's people, and certainly didn't care about Joseph's God. And because of that, we're going to see him begin to immerse himself in all kinds of wickedness. Now, what did it say? What does it say about the Pharaoh? It says that he said to the people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." And so right away, Mark, what is his concerns?
Yeah, self-centered, focused on himself, focused on his kingdom, doesn't care about them.
Yeah, I mean, right away, fear is what drives him.
Fear, yeah.
Fear is what drives him. Now, this verse has to make me kind of chuckle, because I would think that the game plan then would be, you know what, let's bless and love and care for and encourage the people of Israel, because then if our enemies come, they certainly won't rise up with our enemies, because they'll go, you know what, why would we rise up against Pharaoh? He's a good guy. But instead, Pharaoh's idea is, you know what, we ought to oppress them, because the only way we can control people, the only way we can do that is to put our boot on their throat. Instead of loving and encouraging and building them up. And so this is Pharaoh's game plan. Let's deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. By the way, they were already multiplying, so he was already fearful. He didn't understand that. We have God's purposes. What do we have? We have man's problem.
And how many years have the Israelites been now?
430.
430. I wonder if a mathematician probably already did. If he had 70 people to begin with, and what the multiplication process is, how many families, what's the average? Did they all have 6 or 8 kids over so many years? And that came up with the 450.
I don't know.
Anyway, but at least Pharaoh's recognizing they'll become even more numerous.
Yeah. And so he devises in his mind to deal with his fears and deal with his lack of control over this. I mean, he can't figure it out. I mean, why are these people multiplying the way they're multiplying? What's going on? And so to deal with that, what does he do? It says here, he set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. So he went to the people and he voiced his fears, because you can get people to do a whole lot when you get them scared.
Right.
You get them scared. That's why we have to be careful of scare quotes and fear mongering, because it gets us to do a lot of things and generally the wrong things. The Bible tells us to be humble. The Bible tells us to be patient. The Bible tells us to persevere quietly. And here, Pharaoh's not doing any of that. He's coming to his people and he's saying, what if our enemies rise up? What will we do? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. They might take away all of our freedoms. They might take away our huts and all the things that we have. I worked hard for these two camels. And so what do? Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. And it says, then they built for Pharaoh store cities in Pithom and Ramses, and the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and the more they spread abroad. See the work of God? The promises of God cannot be stopped. You can have fearful, you can have wicked, you can have all those things amongst men, and you cannot stop the promises of God, because what you're going to see in the book of Exodus continually is that Pharaoh will do things, and then it will be capped off by, and they multiplied and grew. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot stop the purposes of God.
Right.
When God is at work, you cannot stop it. The more they were oppressed, the more they were put down, the more they were bewildered, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And then it says, and the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So, first of all, they afflict them, and they give them heavy burdens, but now they're in dread. And because they're not in control, and we are the kind of people who really like to be in control, and they are not in control.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service of mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. And they worked them ruthlessly and made them work as slaves. Now, if you're astute in this paragraph, in this verse that I just read, you're going to count that there are 7 words that are used there to show how the Egyptians dealt with the Israelites. And why is that? 7 words, I call them 7 words of wickedness. Why are there 7 words of wickedness? Again, the 7 is the number of perfection. This shows you that the Egyptians weren't just wicked. They were perfectly wicked. They were wicked in a way that... So God's purposes are good and perfect, and these guys are perfectly wicked.
Yeah, I see that word, ruthlessly wicked. I mean, like, we don't use that word much.
No.
Ruthlessly. But
no, we don't, because it's not a good word.
Yeah.
But here's one of the things that I think that we need to do as we get into the last minute or so that we have. Pharaoh thinks he's oppressing the people of Israel. But what we have here is, like I said, we have God's purposes and we have man's problem. We have seven words that tell us perfectly what God has purposed to do with his people, and we have seven words to tell us how Pharaoh will perfectly and wickedly try to destroy God's people. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, we could read this as the people of Israel and Pharaoh, but I think what we ought to read this as is Pharaoh is fighting against God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do we? If we turn to the book of Acts, what happens in the book of Acts? Remember that Gamaliel comes and he says, "Release these men, because if they are of God and you're fighting against them, you will be fighting against God, and you will be sorely out of your league." What we're going to find out as we go through the book of Exodus is that Pharaoh is out of his league. And every Pharaoh that has come since, and when I say Pharaoh, I mean ruthless, wicked leaders who oppress, who kill, who mock and destroy, all of them have been out of their league in terms of fighting against God, because he is God. And one of the things we're going to learn as we go through the book of Exodus is this: God can be trusted because he is at work and his purposes cannot be thwarted. It may seem as though today you are losing, but grace is being multiplied. Grace is becoming more numerous than can be counted. Mm-hmm. You are the people of God, and therefore fears and that do not rule over us. Instead, we're ruled over by God and his righteousness. And so we'll leave off right there, but as we get into the book, I want you to just continually see that God is at work and God is doing something amazing. And that doesn't mean that the enemies of God and God's people will not rise up. In fact, the Bible tells us that they surely will. Except that if you cheat and go to the last chapter, you're going to find out that they all lose and God wins.
Yeah, we're on the winning team. All right, the book of Exodus, everyone. We'll be going through this word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter in the coming days. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. greatnewsradio.org. Tell a friend and be sure to join us again at the same time on each and every future Fridays as we go through this book together. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.